All right, we are live. The floor is yours.
We have a quorum. Chair Hansen.
Here.
Member Myers. Present. Member Witkowski.
Here.
Member O'Brien. I see he's muted, but his lips moved. Member Vail.
Here.
Member Bison.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Hey, wonderful. Thank you. Let's take a moment of silence right now. All right, and Lynn, you offered to do the to start us off on the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay. So now we have liaison announcements and board member announcements, and I've been told that our liaison, Don Addis, is not with us this evening, so we'll move on to advisory board members. I'll go down the list. Member Dowdy is not with us today. Nope. All right. Board member Meissen? Would you like to, do you have anything, announcements?
No, I have no announcements.
Okay, thank you. Member Myers?
No announcements at this time, thank you.
All right, thank you. And Member O'Brien?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention the crab season starting up, so I hope we can start enjoying fresh Dungeness crab here. When? What was that, Chris? When? When?
What's the start date?
December 1st, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So, I haven't seen any of the guys in town here, and that's probably a good sign, but I was in contact with a couple of buddies up in Oregon, and they had already started also up there. One of our old Morro Bay guys up there fishing them right now.
Was the price settled?
I don't know where it settled. So they started off at a good price, about $5.50, and it's dropped to between $4.50 and $5 2 days after the opener. So I don't know how settled that is. But in any case, that's about it. The commercial fishing group has been working primarily lately on the issues with the proposed sanctuary and the wind off the coast here. So they've been very, very busy for a while.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. Member Vail.
I was looking at who's present, and Lynn, you and I don't think I've ever met. Mary, you and I have never met. Jane may or not be here, but I know of him, but I've actually never met him. And so, anyway, I just want to say, I'm working at the museum tomorrow from 10 to noon, the Maritime Museum. And if any of you are out wandering around, interested in coffee or whatever it is you do on Friday morning, stop by. It'd be nice to make your acquaintance. Thank you.
My partner's father, okay? You're coming. Chris, can I interrupt? Did you say you were working at the museum tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. I've got a Cal Poly class coming to visit. We'll try to. Yeah. Okay, good deal.
That sounds awesome. Okay, Member Witkowski.
Nothing for me.
All righty, dighty. That leaves me. Flip the page. Just little thing about the Chamber of Commerce. They're planning on holding their annual gala on January 28th. Tickets should be for sale soon on their website. They're not out yet. But currently they are working on a Mardi Gras, Moro Gras theme. So it should be pretty different and exciting. I have been part of the planning group, and it will be, it's definitely going to be entertaining, and they're going to concentrate on local food, local talents, and local libations. So that's worth checking out. And then there is also something that we might bring up as a future agenda item. I'm still working on the legal parameters of it, but there is a petition out right now for a property tax that would be $120 to each property in Morro Bay, and those funds would go to the Harbor Department. So if that goes through, I just invite all of you guys to look it up. I know that there was news, it was in the newspaper, and then I'm going to keep researching it. So if you want any attachments, I can send them to you on the city email or text it to you. So, but anyway, public, it's out there. Learn more about it, and maybe we'll have a speaker one of these days come and tell us what it's all about. All right, that's it for my announcements. Eric, you said something about Scott being here this evening. Is he present?
Yeah, Scott calls the city manager is here. Yeah.
Would he like to do any announcements at this time?
I'll save my comments for the goals update.
Okay, sounds good. All right, then I'm going to work our ways.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. It looks like Dawn's here also now.
Oh, good. Okay. So, Councilmember Addis, would you like to make any announcements today?
She has to be promoted to panelist first.
Okay. Oh, well.
This is Hylan. I had just promoted her.
Thanks, Hylan.
All right, Dawn, can you hear us?
Yep, you caught me while I was snacking.
All right.
Well, I don't usually get promoted to panelists, but I'm happy to be here, and I did want to say thank you for your initial work on the pilot parking program. I've seen a lot of emails come through, and want to say thank you for that, and just in general for all of the work that HAB does. I typically, after attending HAB, then share takeaways when I go back to council in my announcement. So it's very helpful, all of what you guys are doing, and I know there's a couple openings coming up, so I hope we're all thinking about good people that we can recruit that will keep our harbor moving forward.
Perfect. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the status report and expand on that. So, yeah, that's wonderful. I'm glad to have you here tonight. There's definitely a lot of things that having you present would be really beneficial, since we're going to go over parking, and you might have some answers for goals and whatnot. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Charisse. I do have to jump to a different meeting at 6, but we'll come back if I possibly can.
Okay. Yeah, it would. The goals might take a little while, but depending on how long your meeting is, it would be nice to have you around for the parking, because we do have some concerns and questions, and definitely add advice that the groups have been working on that we would love to have your ear on it. So, or watch it later. But yeah, it would be nice to have you there for a couple questions for us.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right, so we're going to move into public comment pursuant to Executive Order N-821 issued by Governor Newsom. This meeting is conducted telephonically via Zoom and live broadcast. And please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread COVID, the Veterans Hall will not be open for this meeting. So this also allows you to have a public comment via Zoom. Is there anyone, Hylan, in the queue that would like to make a public comment at this time?
Thank you, Chair Hansen. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And all right. So Next order of business is the consent calendar. We have the, let's just go down one by one. For A1, would anybody like to pull any of the consent calendar items, either A1, A2, or A3? I'm going to scroll down. I don't see any hands up. I don't see anybody. I am going to pull the status report, and we just need to have parts of it. So do I have to, we have to vote on me pulling it? Eric?
No, you don't have to vote on pulling it. You should vote on the two items you didn't pull and then circle back to A3.
Okay, perfect. So as far as consent calendar goes, can we approve as submitted items A1 and A2?
Second.
Okay. I'll make that. I made that motion. So we approved A1 and A2, and I think I can do that. Okay, so A3, we're pulling A3. Eric, the items that I wanted you to go over are, one, I wanted to talk about the two people that are up for reappointment if they want it. And, have vacancies, lighted boat parade, and then there were some other questions that we received in via emails. So can you address those four issues?
Sure, and I don't know, I'll get them in the same order you ran through them in, but I'll start with the fun one. Lighted boat parade is this Saturday starting at 6:30 p.m. There was a very extreme tide change. We go from a pretty high, close to a 7-foot high in the morning, mid to late morning, and then a negative low at 4:30 in the evening. So it's almost a 9-foot tide change, 8.5-foot tide change, which is big. So there'll be a lot of tidal flow. We looked at this months ago and decided, should we cancel, should we postpone, put a different day? Decided no, because the tide will be coming in once the parade gets underway. It's usually only a problem if it's really moving when the parade's underway. Can set boats going in funny places or run them aground. So if people run aground, they'll just wait for the tide to float them back up and should be fine. So the parade's going to happen. People just need to be cognizant of the very low tide, especially if they're going to launch a boat from the launch ramp off their trailer. They're going to want to do that earlier in the day and not wait till the evening. And if they're coming out of the State Park Marina, they're going to want to come out of the marina in the morning when the tide's high and not wait till the afternoon. Otherwise, you're not going to get out. So just be cognizant of the tides. And it's going to be very low, but coming back in. So that's the boat parade. Two Harbor Advisory Board vacancies coming up. The two seats are South Bay Los Osos, currently filled by Gene Dowdy, and a member at large, currently filled by Lynn Meissen. I believe the city clerk sent out the announcements earlier this week to the public about filling those. So both Lynn and Gene are encouraged to both reapply, or if other members of the public are interested, they're encouraged to apply. You can find all the information on the city's website. And then two items we received some public comment on after the agenda posted, and I may ask the city manager to step in if I say this wrong. There's a, when it comes to public comment and agenda posting, and what we publish, there was a recent appellate court ruling in Northern California that changed the way public noticing. It's a Brown Act issue, and the way public noticing and public comment goes. And so until the city comes up with a policy on how we're going to address public comment received, not in a meeting, but written by email, which we typically do, and in the past we've generally posted public comments up and to the council meeting or the Harbor Advisory Board meeting, pretty close up to the actual meeting itself. We're now no longer doing that until we come up with a policy based on that appellate court ruling. If the members of the public, so if the agenda publishes, let's say the agenda publishes on Thursday and we get some public comments by email on Friday to the Harbor Advisory Board, we will not be answering those public comments or even posting those public comments until the, you know, before the meeting, because it's a Brown Act thing. And so if people post public comments by email to the City Council, the Harbor Advisory Board, between agenda posting and the meeting, they'll only be answered if
those items are pulled or asked for basically by the body in question, this case obviously being the Harbor Advisory Board. So that being said, I don't know, Scott, you want to add anything to that? Did I butcher that too badly?
I'm not a city attorney, so I'm just going to say, sure. You know, if we need a more formal explanation from a real lawyer pro, we can bring that in. But, yeah, suffice to say, we're looking at this closely. Hopefully have an updated policy, you know, early next year to provide more clarity.
Right.
I'm sure that's what you just said.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you. So to answer the public comments that you asked for, Charisse, we had a question from Betty Windholtz on the status report, which is on the matrix, which is that little graph thing in the back, kind of the status of Harbor Advisory Board actions. That was put together a few years ago when the Harbor Advisory Board wanted to track some of the recommendations and actions they took when those things would get protracted or take a long amount of time to be addressed by the council or wherever they ended up going. So they wanted it memorialized and then an updated status when things would change. And so that's what that sort of what we call the matrix is. Ms. Windholtz asked about clarification on item number three, which is, if I pull it out, it was... The Harbor Advisory Board asked the City Council about whether the Harbor Fund could share in the collection of sales tax, transient occupancy tax, or property tax, which at the time the Harbor Fund was not getting any of those funds, which is normal up and down the coast with Tidelands Trust. We really get the only revenues we get are from the lease sites and the lease revenues. But the Harbor Advisory Board questioned whether or not we could receive some of that. We put it on the matrix. Up until this very budget cycle, the Harbor Fund had not ever shared in any of the sales tax revenues, including Measure Q, which was a special sales tax measure that was adopted about a decade ago, and then Measure E, which was adopted recently. Mrs. Windholtz's question was about, on the matrix I stayed in there, the last update is that in this current budget, this year's budget, we were granted $150,000 in ongoing revenues from the Measure Q and E funds. I don't think we parsed them out to one versus the other. They just blended together as Measure Q and E, and we were granted $150,000 in our operating budget for our trash disposal costs and to fund our lifeguard program, and that was based on public input. From polling we did that identified the public wanted safe and clean spaces, funded police, funded fire, clean beaches, clean safe beaches, clean harbors, and those sorts of things. So it went through a committee process. I think it went through the CFAC. Ultimately went through the City Council, and those funds were granted. And then there was a $50,000 allocation one time from the Measure Q and E funds that's going towards our fire pump on a new harbor trail boat that we've got that we're working on right now. It's down in the Radden Boatyard. So that's what those two items were, and that's the clarification on those. So. Any questions on that? And so the other question we had.
Sorry, I do.
Yep.
On that particular one, the money that you got, that was, there's a first time that we got a million. Isn't there a second time that we get a second million that gets to get allocated?
Well, between measures Q and E, measure Q was a half cent, measure E was 1 cent.
Oh, wait. I got the wrong one. The American Rescue Plan Act. Is that a different issue?
That's a whole different issue.
Okay. Bring that up later.
Just sales tax revenues.
Okay. Got it. Never mind.
So that's what those were. It didn't have anything to do with one fund charging another and reimbursement. It was just sales tax revenue that the CFAC and City Council elected to approve for the Harbor Fund getting. The other question came from Dawn Borst. She's the owner and operator of the Bayside Cafe down in State Park Marina, and she asked about, there's a note down at the bottom of that one, it's item five on the matrix, that the city's re-engaged with State Parks regarding the concessions at the marina. As you know, we have an operating agreement with State Parks on the marina itself that was predicated on a major marina rebuild that kind of fell to pieces about a decade ago. State Parks has been working on with us to try and figure out a path forward and how to dredge that marina and revitalize it and continue forward with their concessions there. Don's a concessionaire under Associated Pacific running the Bayside Cafe. So the update there is that State Parks has commissioned a new cost-benefit analysis of that marina to see if it can support a full renovation and dredging effort. And that's all really all that's going on there. There's nothing more, nor the talks with State Parks regarding the marina or the cafe at all. So that's the update on that. That's all I got on those.
All righty. Does anyone, any member, have a question for Eric on those four items? Anybody? No? Okay, I do. So I just wanted to ask Jean, well, Jean's not here, but Lynn, are you planning on reapplying?
He is actually on as an attendee if he can be promoted.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Jean needs to be promoted, Hyland. Or Eric, I don't know who does that one.
All right, I'm on it.
But Lynn, while we're waiting for him to get on, are you planning on reapplying?
No, ma'am, I am not.
Okay.
It's been a great pleasure for many years, but I can no longer.
Can you guys hear me?
Sorry, Lynn. Yes, that's good. Yes, Jean, we can hear you.
Good.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Lynn. You've been a great part of it. I know you got a lot done, especially with the eelgrass. So we're going to miss you. I do know. So, Jean, are you planning on reapplying for the South Bay Los Osos?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Good. So what I wanted to, it's not actually a question for Eric, but I wanted to just put in everybody's mind. That because we have January off, February puts us in a quick kind of reassessment of who's going to be the chair and who's going to be the vice chair. And so knowing that that is coming up and it will take effect on February, we need to decide who that is. When it happened with me that I became the chair, it was really quick, and we didn't have much preparation for it. So just everybody in the group be thinking about the fact that the chair position will be open or to pick someone, and then the vice chair. And I would strongly advise whoever wants to be the chair to at least try and do a vice chair one time. So not that I, you know, do whatever you guys decide, whatever we all decide, but it's really good to have a little bit more preparation. I just now feel like I've got it down a little bit. So, all right. The lighted boat parade. Eric, how many boats do you know? Do you have any idea how many boats are planning on being at it this year?
We typically get 20 to 25, and I think we're anticipating the same. I don't know the exact count that we've got, but we've had a number of people the last few days stopping in, asking about getting their numbers and whatnot. So it's looking like it's about the same participation.
Okay. And then the latter part where she asked about what would happen if you, because one of the things is that we were thinking about, or Harbor Department was thinking about taking over the state park area. So that's off the table right now. So they don't have any, I mean, I want to address her concerns, which were she was concerned that she would all of a sudden have a new landlord. So is that in the near future, anywhere possible? So can she rest assured that she's got the same?
I don't think that's near future. No, when State Parks comes up with the cost-benefit analysis, they'll probably re-engage us and start trying to figure out what the public process is moving forward to figure out what they're going to do with those concessions, and I would suspect that would go into the summer and fall. It's not going to be anything very quick.
All right. So as far as security, I feel like that was just something that she wanted to have addressed. All right. Well, does anybody else have any questions? We could move on to the next item. Oh, we need to motion to receive and file.
You need to approve A3.
Okay. So does anybody want to make a motion to approve A3?
I'll second it.
All right. Member Vail motioned. All right. And Myers seconded. Okay, so
I guess we need to do a roll call vote. We didn't.
Oh, okay, roll call vote. Sorry.
All right. Member Dowdy?
Here. Yes.
Member Meissen?
Affirmative.
Member Myers?
Present.
Affirm.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Vail?
Aye.
Member Witkowski?
Yes.
Chair Hansen?
Yes.
All right. Pulled that one off.
Okay. So moving forward to business items, we have B1, which is review the input from City Council for goals and action items. So I'm going to hand it off to you, Eric, for that, and Scott.
Sure. So, as you know, the goal process got a little delayed, primarily due to COVID and workload issues, and so got a little bit of a late start on it. Normally, we would have adopted some goals in the spring that kind of get wound into the budget process and then moving forward into the year, so we started looking at them a little bit more recently. Our recommendation is as we go through these items, I think one by one, I've got some staff analysis and recommendations. Some of them are no action being recommended. Some of them are, have some recommendations in terms of, what staff believes we should have for a work plan for the HAB to do with each goal. Obviously all the city council goals aren't directly pertinent to the Harbor Advisory Board and to the Harbor, but the ones that are obviously we call out. So back on November 10th this year, the council approved their 21-22 goals and action items for the year. And so the council did make a couple small changes from what was published in the staff report on November 10th. None of those things really applied directly to the Harbor Advisory Board. So what's in the attachment as the November 10th staff report for the city council is what basically are the adopted goals that apply to you, the Harbor Advisory Board. So you'll see in that attachment that there's a matrix, there's a staff report, and then kind of a matrix or a chart of the four different goals and all the action items underneath them. And then, like I say, I've got some recommendations on a Harbor Advisory Board work plan to accomplish those goals. Leading up to this, the Harbor Advisory Board on August 18th provided a letter, I think after a couple of different board meetings, provided a letter to the City Council on what we wanted to see as the Harbor Advisory Board's work plan and action items, and that is also included in the staff report as a second attachment, so you have that for reference if you need. I'm going to jump out for a second and see if the city manager wants to jump in and talk about process a little bit more. Scott?
Love to talk about process, my favorite thing. But I also would, Eric, if you want me to run through kind of what the actual goals that they established are and the action items, or do you want me to talk about process more?
You can run through if you want to run through the matrix, yeah.
Okay. And thank you all for having me tonight and for the great work you all did. I think there was a couple meetings at least you spent talking about at least the action items were already underway and goals that related to the HAB, and we did this with the Public Works Advisory Board and Planning Commission and Citizen Finance Advisory Commission and Rec and Parks, and also talked to the Chamber Board, the new Tourism Board, et cetera, to get input. And I got over almost 200 comments on our survey, went out to the community. So really felt like we got a good sense of where our community's heading and where they want us to head, I should say. So council took all that into consideration, a couple meetings, one at the end of September, and then, refined things in late October. And so what we have before you is what was actually adopted, plus a couple action items, which I think Eric mentioned we did. So I'm going to share my screen real quick just so you all can follow along with what I have. Let's see here. Okay. Everybody see that okay? Somebody thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, thank you. So the first page of the matrix is the I guess you sort of go before you even look at them. The matrix is really kind of what's the purpose of the city. And it's stated, I think, pretty succinctly here that the city is identified as purpose as the city of Marbella provides essential public service and infrastructure to maintain a safe, clean, and healthy place for residents and visitors to live, work, and play. That is our mission, our purpose, vision, whatever you want to call it. That's why we exist. That's why we're here, to serve our community and make sure we continue to provide the foundation for a high quality of life that we all enjoy in Marbella. The goals below really are a fraction of the work that is done on the day-to-day with staff, whether it's our maintenance employees, our harbor patrol, our police response, fire, code enforcement planners, our finance and HR and IT people allow us to provide all those services. It's not necessarily represented in here, but it's what keeps us going. And the fact that if we're able to provide those services at a high level, then we're able to look into the future and address some of those longer-term needs like public infrastructure, our economy, housing, climate action, et cetera. So it's really important that we ground ourselves in that. And as we've sort of explained to council, we've been operating sort of on a shoestring for those services, and I think we've done a great job, the best job we can, and our community has supported those services through tax increases and fee increases. We greatly appreciate that and all the work of our advisory boards and volunteers who help kind of fill in the gaps. But we find ourselves sort of at a crossroads where we're not necessarily able to continue to provide services at the same level without really investing in our staff a bit more and our technology kind of evolving with the times to make sure we can take advantage of some pretty major opportunities that are in front of us, whether it's the battery project, offshore wind, new hotels, kind of the shift in the economy, et cetera. So new funding come from the state and federal levels that we've never seen before, you know, the last 20, 30, maybe even 40 plus years. So there's a lot of major opportunity. We want to make sure we're positioned well to take advantage of that. So that's sort of the underpinning of everything we do. And then we have the goals on top of that are sort of our aspirations. And so the five goal areas, some of which are not new, and these aren't in any particular order. The first listed is public infrastructure, and we have financial sustainability and economic vitality. And some of the newer ones, housing, I think has evolved a little bit out of our general plan pursuit of updating our long-term plans. Now we're sort of honing in on some key issues around housing. Climate action is a new one, and no big surprise, a lot of science has evolved to the point where we understand we're at a critical point, and we also experience the impacts of sea level rise here locally, and so we feel it, but we also have opportunities to play in the new green energy industry. And last, it added was community health, and that's primarily around some of the COVID stuff, but also making sure we're inclusive of all community members in our processes. And so under the goals, we have draft, or not draft anymore, these are the goal statements that sort of define what we're going to pursue under those major buckets. Under public infrastructure, we're looking at cleanliness, this does, and safety in our tourism areas. This does have a pretty significant impact on the harbor, obviously. Looking at conducting a capital needs assessment, again, our harbor needs are vast, but we haven't drilled down deep into the very specific projects. We just know we have a lot of needs, so we need to take next steps to understand precisely what needs to happen and when and how much. And then traffic circulation in Embarcadero, we all kind of experienced that in the summer months, and again, another harbor impact. Of the visitors and those local and out of town who come to enjoy the parking lot and the beach down at the Rock, and just trying to get out of town on heavy days it puts a strain on all of our resources, and trying to understand how we could address that. Under financial sustainability and economic vitality, we want to create a plan to address the city's unfunded liabilities while striving to achieve competitive compensation. The liabilities are primarily around our pension costs that are continuing to go up, and then the competitive compensation is really just understanding all of our neighboring communities are going to be giving pretty substantial increases to their employees, and we don't want to fall too far behind that curve because our employees have choice, especially in the great reshuffling or resignation or whatever people are calling it now. We have to strive to make sure we continue to retain our top employees and attract new employees who have a lot to offer to our community. The next is determining potential paths to secure funding for capital needs. Harbor is called out specifically because we know those needs are urgent and significant. And then last on that is supporting the expedition of catalyst site development. That includes things like the power plant facility, the wastewater treatment plant that will go offline in the next several years, and other opportunity sites in our community. Under the housing goal, we want to educate council on the new state legislation related to housing, and that not necessarily direct relation to Harbor, but it does affect our ability to have folks be able to live here, and especially those that are working families. It is tough. Identify opportunities for additional housing options and explore partnerships with those in our county. And then continue the Community Development Department's efforts to expedite the development review process, which has relate to some of the projects on the waterfront. Under climate action, which is a new goal, participate with other cities in the county to support climate action planning, educate council on the technical terms related to climate action and support advocacy, and then consider opportunities to reduce reliance on carbon-producing energy sources. That could be simple things like recycling the types of vehicles we purchase for our fleets, all the way up to looking at offshore wind and the battery project. And under community health, a new goal, again, this is primarily around the COVID vaccination, making sure we're getting information out to our community, but also those who are particularly harder to reach. And then a new goal around educating council and staff around diversity, equity, inclusion, and engaging in a community conversation. So those are the draft statements, not necessarily action items, but that kind of helps the community understand what we mean by these goals. And then we work into the actual action items for the next year or so, which I think Eric will probably talk about these a little bit more. So I don't want to read these because I know they were attached in your packet. So I think, Eric, you were going to speak to the specific action items that...
Well, Mary has a question for you.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask how you were defining, like, catalyst sites.
Yeah, good question. I think these are probably more like the larger larger sites, like the power plant there in Market Street Plaza, that, you know, have kind of big bang for buck kind of potential and in terms of the economics or revenue. You know, we don't have a whole lot of those, and so we want to make sure that we're marketing those effectively. So I think catalyst was the term of art that was kind of established prior to my coming here, and so we sort of kept moving on that. Eric, I don't know if you were part of that process, but I think it's primarily those large sites like the Market Street and the power plant and the treatment plant, right?
Yeah. Like I say, the kind of the big bang for the buck stuff.
Okay, so mainly looking at revenue.
Well, it's the, or economics. I mean, I think that was the driver. It came out of the, again, I think it got adopted before I started here, but it was the Economic Development Strategic Plan. I think that's a slightly different name, but that was called out specifically in that plan to try to provide, you know, new economics supports in our community, new economic opportunities. And obviously the power plant is sort of a one-of-a-kind opportunity on the Central Coast.
Thanks.
So, Eric, do you want me to stop sharing and you want to take it from here on the action items, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I think you did a good overview on all, unless there's any other questions. I can go into a little more, I'll go into detail and go into the kind of the recommendations and action items, and we'll, I guess, get input one by one on those. Would probably be the easiest. Charisse, maybe I'll just take them one at a time. And we'll get input on them each one as we go. Sound reasonable? Okay, thumbs up. So of the five goals that Scott just talked about a minute ago there, there's really three of them that have direct application And some of them explicitly, and some of the things that are written in the goals themselves regarding the harbor fund and harbor infrastructure. But it's really goals 1, 2, and 4, as you saw it on that sort of that matrix. Goal 1 being the infrastructure, 2 being fiscal sustainability, and 4 being climate action. Those are the ones that really have the most direct application. So those are the ones that I'll call out. So if you go down into your staff report, goal 1, public infrastructure, and I've got them lettered out. And these are the things in the in all the kind of the short-term and long-term action items listed in the goals in that matrix as they apply to the harbor. So under public infrastructure, initiating a capital assessment effort, and that would be citywide, not just for harbor stuff. So we've never really had a good capital assessment of what all our infrastructure is and what all the capital needs are and costs. That's never really been done, so we're going to potentially partake on that effort. Initiate and work on a paid parking pilot program and continue to work on long-term parking plan as well. So paid parking, we've got a staff report item on that. We'll cover most of it here in the goals. Item C, pursue grant opportunities for the Coleman Beach area. Item D, address traffic circulation, specifically the Embarcadero, which is kind of tied to parking in a lot of ways. Item E, complete capital assessment and prepare an enhanced capital improvement plan for the harbor, stormwater and facilities. So that's where harbor was called out specifically, and obviously speaks directly to item A, the initiating a capital assessment. So obviously initiate it and complete it. And then item F, if paid parking pilot proves effective, pursue long-term parking program. And G, look at how parks, look at parks and how to improve public spaces. I think it's not necessarily just parks, but other public spaces. So we'll get a little more detail on that one. H, work towards completion of a harbor walk public space. I think that's sort of a gap analysis of the harbor walk, which I'll get into a little bit more later. So that's all the sort of the public infrastructure stuff that speaks directly to harbor and the waterfront and beach and whatnot. Goal 2, fiscal sustainability and economic vitality. Listed under A, assess viability for downtown Embarcadero business improvement districts or BIDs. And in parentheses, I put short term. So those were listed as short term action items, and the ones that say long term or long term action items. 2B, review development opportunities for Market Plaza. That's where the old Estacio's restaurant used to be, but the parking down across the street from Libertine Pub and Roses, that public parking lot, and then up behind it on the hill, and then the parking lot across Market Street. That's all called the Market Plaza project. Item C, continue review of the Vista proposed battery project. City manager talked about that a minute ago. Vista is supposed to put in a battery storage project next door. Item D, implementation of SB 1383, which is a state bill regarding organic waste disposal. That has some direct application to us. Item E, continued support for offshore wind. That's probably short-term and long-term. We've been working on that for about 5 years. Item F, identify long-term infrastructure funding for streets, stormwater, harbor facilities, et cetera. That's obviously a funding thing. Item G, address Vista current proposed battery project and master planning. It's a more of a long-term goal that the council identified. And then item H, review opportunities for revenue enhancement. That was on last year's set of goals, the last 2 years' set of goals as well. It's kind of a catch-all for, and we've pursued a lot of things under that, RV parking, drive-in movies at the Rock. A lot of things fell under that, and so that's kind of a catch-all for new and improved revenue sources. And then goal 4, climate action. Again, the battery project, continue review of the Vista proposed battery project, because that obviously is a carbon footprint kind of thing, and getting to a more carbon neutral fuel future. Item B, review opportunities for improved bike and pedestrian network within the city. Obviously, there's some bike and pedestrian uses on the waterfront. And then item C, continue to support offshore wind, which is ties to climate action, obviously. So those are sort of the direct ties to the three goals as they work through the action items. So we've kind of assessed them all, and going down in the discussion part of your staff report, I'll work through them one at a time, and kind of give you a little more detail on what they all mean. And then in my staff report in italics, we've got some staff analysis or staff recommendations. Sound good so far?
Any questions? Mary, you have your hand up?
I guess mine's like part of the discussion, so I can just wait till we go there.
Alrighty, Eric, back at ya.
I might suggest that at the end of each one, when I conclude my presentation on it, if there's any specific questions, we go through that, and then maybe we do have one person attending and from the public, so we might ask for public comment at each one rather than ask at the very end. That sound all right?
Yes.
Okay. So the first one, 1A, the capital assessment. As you know, the budget and finance ad hoc committee helps with our three spreadsheets that we have for all of our capital infrastructure and equipment that we developed several years ago, in sort of a budding effort that we undertook under different city leadership to kind of assess what all we had for our capital assets, and we've continually tried to update that and prioritize it. We pull projects off it on a as funding is available basis, and we continue to look at it that way until funding becomes more robust. Again, with the assistance of that budget finance ad hoc committee, those spreadsheets are periodically updated and refined. We're recommending the HAB continues its insistence in that. Occasionally, we'll bring those spreadsheets back to the full HAB for their review and recommendations, usually during the budget cycle when we're recommending projects. So we're recommending that the HAB ad hoc committee continue to assist staff in refining and defining those things. In addition to assisting staff completing a more formal capital assessment and defining and developing a full formal capital program. I would imagine the Public Works Department is probably going to take the lead on most of the overall looks of that project once we get underway, because that's their expertise, capital assessment and planning. We'll hopefully be able to ride on their coattails. But I'd like to keep the Harbor Advisory Board and that ad hoc committee engaged in that. Any questions?
So, for this capital assessment, you're saying that the budget and finance ad hoc committee should do the work. How much work do you think it's going to require? And should, because it's an ad hoc committee, should they include like a public works person? Is there any people that should be added to that group? Because it's pretty small right now.
I don't see the committee doing all the work per se. I see the committee helping and providing input to the work that the city does, the city staff does. And like I said, I think it's probably going to be Public Works setting up the sort of the format of how this thing works and as we work through it. I see the manager just pop back in. It looks like maybe has something to say, but the committee is being an advisory and assistance role.
Yeah, if you guys want to do the assessment, that'd be awesome. But we intend to hire somebody who could kind of support that effort, like a consultant, because we need to look at this citywide. So we did something along those lines for our water and sewer system several years ago, and it's pretty in-depth work. But I think the subcommittee here would just sort of be clued in on those efforts and sort of brought in at the appropriate time. But this would be taken on by staff and consultants.
Yeah. Okay, and there's quite a few things that the budget and finance, looking at all of these goals, there's a lot of things that we could put in on to the budget and finance ad hoc committee, and I just wanted to know the depth of which this goal would take on, or the budget and finance would take on for this goal. So, okay, good to know.
All right, so I think it'd be looking at prioritization maybe primarily. And we can add people to the committee as needed if it looks like that's warranted.
I was just going to say, too, Eric, like, I feel like you already have the spreadsheets are very clear on, like, where your income and expenditures are. So, like, I don't know I wouldn't think that maybe the capital assessment is like, I don't know what you're going to learn from there, but like we could also as a HAB come up with like some recommendations of like where you think the opportunities are, where you're not like breaking even and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of work would be helpful.
Because I feel like the spreadsheets that you have, like it all, to me, it all looks pretty clear what's coming in and out.
Okay. Public comment on that?
I'm good.
Chris, is your hand up?
Oh, no, it's my script.
Okay. Hyland, can we... So we're at the end of each one of these. Eric, you want me to ask for public comment?
I think so. I think that'd be most effective. Yeah.
All right. Hyland, is there any public comment at this time?
Thank you, Chair. There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, thank you. You know what, Eric? How about we do public comment at the end? Well, never mind. Okay, at the end.
Yes, I would suggest at the end. Eric is very kind, but yes, one public comment opportunity at the end would be most appropriate.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good to me. One at the end. Is that okay, Eric?
That's fine. No, that's fine. All right, so we're done with that one, it looks like. Okay, paid parking. I'm sure we'll have a little more robust discussion on this one. So as we know, the HAB already established an ad hoc committee that's been assisting with parking and paid parking. You've done a lot of good work already, and we've got a staff report item coming up after this that has a memo included. That effort, I think, will continue as we continue forward with where we're at on paid parking. And I'm going to have Scott jump in here in a second. So what we're recommending is that the ad hoc committee continue to provide that input to staff and development of a paid parking pilot program. I sense there's some concern that the HAB and maybe the ad hoc committees maybe get behind the process eight ball. You're way ahead of it. You've provided input on stuff we haven't even asked about yet, which is great. It's a lot of good work, especially in that last memo. But until we develop what we are doing and where we think we want to go as staff to bring to the council, we're not stuck behind the council. We're pretty far ahead of them. So I just want to make the committee and the HAB cognizant that we don't need to make any decisions on paid parking and any of the recommendations in the memo that you'll see in the next item. We're well ahead of it. Scott, I'll let him jump in, but we're in the process of working with the consultant that did the demand study, parking demand study, for them to help us lay out what a paid parking pilot program would look like. So, Scott, if you want to jump in and explain what that's going to look like.
Yeah, we've received a scope draft from Walker Consultants, and we're sort of tinkering with it, but it's extremely comprehensive, and it the line items sort of address very well, I think, a lot of the issues raised by Sharice Cal and others who put that team together and did a great job of summarizing the issues. So it's actually been quite helpful to know that information. But Eric's right, you know, we have to sort of put something together and then come back to the committee for input on, but we anticipate having several check-ins and not just doing a check-the-box situation, because we know you're all the ones who are going to experience the impacts of both positive and negative of a paid parking system. So first we need to get through the scoping and selection of whether we're using Walker or another group to develop the pilot, but there's probably 25 to 30 things we got to think through, as you've all identified. So we appreciate the work so far. I think it's probably a couple months before we have anything ready to bring back to the subcommittee and ultimately to Harbor, but Planning Commission and the Public Works Advisory Board also weighs in on this before council. And sort of above all of that is the Coastal Commission. So we're part of the scope is considering how we engage with them, because they will ultimately decide whether this would move forward or not. So long way of saying we're going through a scoping process. We'll be back to talk with the ad hoc group probably in the next couple months.
Okay, Mary, you have a question? Yeah, what metrics are you guys looking at to determine whether or not the pilot is successful or not?
That's going to be part of the scope. That's a great question, Mary. Obviously part of it is finance. Does it minimum break even or not? Like, are there other benefits that outweigh losing some money? You know, because this isn't primarily driven for, in a lot of ways, isn't driven to make money for the city. It's to help drive economics. And so obviously you're going to rely on the expertise of the consultant who does this everywhere, all over the place, to understand how they would determine success. So that would definitely be part of the scope.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, by any chance, have you talked to the Coastal Commission staff to determine some kind of a straw vote or something like that?
No, we definitely are going to do that, Gene. That's also part of the scope of this is to sort of get it to a place where we have something to actually show them, but not go so far as to develop the whole plan, you know what I mean, and spend a bunch of money, and they're like, you know. So I think we're trying to find the appropriate check-in point. I don't think we're there yet. We asked them back in 2020 if we could utilize the emergency permit that allowed us to do outdoor dining and the RV program, if we could use that to try a pilot, like a really small paid parking pilot, and they said no way. You got to go through this, you know, the robust process of which we're doing. So I think when we have a little bit more to work with, it would be the appropriate time to check in with their staff and tweak accordingly or stop accordingly. But we're not going to wait till the very end to go to them. So hopefully that helps, Gene.
All right. Jeremiah, Member O'Brien has a question too.
Yeah, thank you, Sharice. Hey, Scott, so I was just curious, when they do design this pilot program, so will there be multiple designs or a single design that they come up with? And will we get to look at any of, if it is a single design, will we get to look at any ideas before they settle on one?
I think that's a good question. I don't want to get too out in front of it, but I think some ideas would need to be tested with this group, especially the ad hoc group that is more, you know, concentrated, focused on. I think we would try to test some concepts, and that's going to feed into the ultimate design. We're not going to be able to craft a design that takes care of every single particular need, but called out in the scope, at least this scope, is the things that you have all already talked about, whether it's, you know, commercial fishing, it's liverboards, it's employees, it's business owners, seasonality, et cetera. All those things are called out specifically. So we'll try to design around that, but I think there'll be some check-in points.
Yeah, well, it was kind of the reason, because naturally it's area-specific as to the needs of those parties that you aforementioned there. So, okay, well, that's... Hopefully we'll get to see it before it's...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Before it's too far back to go back. Yes.
Right. Thank you very much.
Of course.
All righty, I don't see anybody else. Anybody else? Lynn? Questions on that?
No.
Okay. So, Eric, we're just continuing with this, with the ad hoc committee that we already have, correct?
Yes, yeah, and if it warrants in the future adding some people, we can look at that in the future. But yeah, like Scott said, we'll come up with the consultant and who we're going to work with as we develop that plan, how to work through that. That's when we'll be coming back to the committee and to have. And you probably already answered a fair amount of the questions and the work you've already done. So
yeah,
then you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, the consultant was quite impressed with that. With the thoughts already been put into it. So it really helped with the scoping, quite honestly.
All right, I see another hand up.
Just a quick question.
Yes,
some of the citizens at large, the additional volunteers, they were kind of asking, sort of what's the next step? And I, told them I didn't know for sure, but my expectation was, we would have input into some sort of RFP vehicle, and then we would probably pick this up early next year.
would, you know, they do for their study. So it sounds like I'm not too far off base on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think staff will ultimately decide on you know, who we move forward with to do the development. But mm-hmm. I think we welcome input as far as who ultimately would execute, because at least in what we're seeing from Walker Consultants is they're more of the designer, the planner, and then you bring in like the group that Eric's teams worked with that put in the kiosk at the launch.
Sure.
Right, would sort of
be
the executor, and we would look for input on that.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Cool, thank you.
So, Sharice, that's about all I've got on that. So I think it's the basic takeaway is keep on keeping on, and we'll be swinging back once we develop a little more of a work plan from the consultant's end.
Sounds good.
Okay, nothing else there. Coleman Park Grants, item 1C. As you know, the kind of background of this on Coleman Park was the Coleman restroom last year, might have been 2019, was deemed seismically unsafe. It had some pretty big structural cracks in it. It's unreinforced masonry, probably built back in the 1950s, maybe 60s. So they demolished it recently, condemned it a while ago. We got some initial grant funding to purchase a new restroom, and then new public works director came on and said, hey, what's the overall plan for this park? Are we just going to stick it back where it came from, or should we kind of master plan this out and think it through a little bit more? So we said, yeah, let's think it through a little more. So they're in the process, public works is in the process of applying for a rural recreation and tourism program grant, RRT, through California State Parks, to confund, complete a little more master planning and build out of that park. We had a couple of public sessions to take input. I think a couple members here were involved with that out on site here last month, or maybe it was October. Just taking some public input. I'm sure there'll be some more as this moves along. But they kind of did a little mini master planning and took some input on what the public wanted to see out there at Coleman. And so we're continuing on applying for that RRT grant. Some members of the Harbor Advisory Board volunteered to help for that, and they are now, I believe, engaged with folks over in Public Works to try and help them with portions of that grant, because it's a pretty pretty big grant, pretty complicated like most are. I think that was Chair Hansen, members Witkowski and Myers that stepped forward to lend Public Works their assistance. So Public Works is continuing on with that. Should we get that grant? I think there's going to that funds a bigger improvement effort in Coleman Park, and not just replacement of the restroom. There's going to be a bigger sort of a planning and permitting process or scoping process. There'll be more opportunities for public input, public and other input. I'm sure we could swing that back to the Harbor Advisory Board as well. It would anticipate that the Harbor Advisory Board would have a role in that, and some input on that. So basically, what we're recommending is we continue those three members with their assistance to Public Works and applying for that grant and hopefully getting that grant. And then an opportunity should they arise or be identified as we move along through those processes. Questions?
I do have a question, Eric. There was an email that you sent out, because there was like three or four different grants that we were looking at. Where Sharice had one that we were looking at that I thought was going to address the Jack O' Lane part of the park, and the other RTT grant was just for the bathroom. Are those two different grants, or is that all the same?
I think Sharice had a different grant line she identified. Public Works is really working on that RRT grant, and okay. At this time they are not going to try and branch out and go after some other grants. If there is something else applicable to be worth going after, that could be something the members of the Harbor Advisory Board could look at, but I don't think Public Works is prepared to start undertaking another grant searching opportunity at the same time.
All right, so that would cover the bathroom and, you know, the new swing sets or whatever that goes in there.
No, we already have a grant for the bathroom. That's not part of the Eric, right?
Yeah, the funding for the restroom is pretty well secured by that grant and some additional funding we have identified. So the bathroom itself, I think, discreetly is funded. It's the whole rest of the stuff around it that we're looking at.
And that's going to be the RTT grant.
Yeah.
Place. Okay, so the one that we were looking at was redundant, basically.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. All right, thanks for clearing that up.
Yep.
Okay. But the seawall one is a whole, that's a
whole another
in
whole different animal. Okay. Yep.
All right, thank you.
All right, so moving on to 1D traffic circulation.
Yeah, so this is a more of a long-term action item. I'm not recommending any action or activity at this time. I don't think there is any activity really going on here. Again, it's anticipated that the Harbor Advisory Board will be involved in the community engagement process once that begins, and any sort of traffic circulation elements are identified on Embarcadero. I anticipate this might be things like, you know, the old promenade idea of the waterfront, truck unloading areas, that sort of thing. But right now there's no activity going on, so there's nothing that I have to do on that. Questions? Okay, seeing none. 1G, improving parks. I think it's the effort is to look at all the existing city parks. What I identified in the staff report is Morro Rock. Well, it's not necessarily a quote-unquote official park at this time. The Harbor Advisory Board did recommend in its goal-setting recommendation to the council that, you know, sort of a mini master planning or some sort of a master planning of sorts be started to look at the Rock and start figuring out what we're going to do out there in the future. This, again, is a long-term action item, and I don't really anticipate any action for the HAV in the immediate future, but we should just stay apprised of and seek opportunities for engagement if any sort of park assessment or master planning were to look like it's going to form and take place out at the Rock and or Northern Waterfront. Any questions on that? Gene?
No.
Okay. Okay, item 1H, completion of the harbor walk. This is kind of an ongoing action. The harbor walk's about 20 years in the making now. It's largely complete across the developed waterfront, but there's still some gaps. I imagine the work for the HAB may be assist in any kind of gap analysis to try and figure out where those gaps are and where and how to fill them in, and provide information to the City Council and community development identifying and maybe some of the remedies. One of the biggest gaps is probably where the Harbor Walk leaves off at Morro Bay Landing, down there where the sport fish boats operate, and then takes back up at Coleman Park. There's a huge gap in between there, right through our office area. So things like that, I think, are what are going to be looked at, and maybe look at some possible solutions for those. And then also on the developed waterfront, you know, each lease site, as it does some major development, they're all being required to complete the harbor walk along the water side and then provide the vertical access, meaning the access in from the street. So those gaps are almost all gone. But again, they're not completely gone. So there could be some things to look at there. Any questions?
I have a question on the harbor walk. How far south is it intended to go?
That's a great question, Lynn. I mean, right now it's you know, it goes from the Rock on through and goes to, you know, really the main parts of it go through to Associated Pacific, with obviously Associated Pacific's a gap, but that's kind of where most people think of it. I believe they're in sort of the conceptual planning documents, there is, again, at least conceptually, the notion to complete it from the launch ramp all the way through down to the inn at Morro Bay, and that's one of the, that is a big, another big gap that there, we really have no harbor walk back there at all. We did get access through the inn at Morro Bay through an easement to that lease site there, which wasn't on that property before, so we looked at that probably 6-7 years ago and kind of tentatively got a gap starting to be filled there, but that whole stretch there is, like I said, I think it's kind of on the books as something that the city would like to look at some point, but it's nothing we've ever worked on. And all the recent leases we've approved down there, we've had them approved with a caveat in there that should funding be found and the city pursue an effort to fill those harbor gaps through there, the leaseholders would allow them to be filled in through their lease by way of their lease. So we've been sort of anticipating that coming up. So that's what's going on down there, Lynn.
So then Oyster Beach would be considered an area that does not need additional development to be Harbor Walk?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, I think that's identified in some documentation with the city that from the launch ramp to the Intermodal Bay is a gap, but I don't think there's been anything thought about in terms of how those gaps would be filled.
Okay.
I mean, there's stairs going down there, and you've got the public access now, but that's about it.
Can I step in here?
Yeah, Gene?
Currently, the Harbor Walk ends at Gray's Inn, and then when they do the Kayak Horizon building, that would be the termination at that street end right there. The Yacht Club, of course, has cross-traffic, as is associated divers, which creates some problems as far as pedestrian access across those areas there.
So. Yeah, that's probably the biggest gap. We've got it at the Estero Inn. There's the access there, but it's each end goes nowhere.
Yes.
Currently.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I had my hand up there. Kind of wondering, Eric, down in the north end, for a harbor walk, there's businesses along the waterfront there that would preclude, the type of businesses would preclude a walk through in front of or even behind those businesses. So why couldn't they just have a sidewalk outside of them, in other words, in the parking area, to connect with Coleman Park? I mean, that's where people go now anyway.
Yeah, I think, Jeremiah, that's the kind of stuff that we would start looking at if and when we start figuring out how to close those gaps, because you're right, like the fish dock. You know, how do we close that gap through there? Well, do we walk
on? It would be a harbor view.
Well, we've got big trucks coming through those areas, too, and it barely accommodates the trucks. Right, so it wouldn't make any sense to put a walkway in there. So just putting it to the outside. Another thing down by Associated and Gray's Inn there. So when people get that far down the harbor walk, then there's no place to go but the sidewalk. So if you just dressed up the sidewalk and called it the Harbor Walk, it would become the new Harbor Walk. I mean, that's the only place to, and it's perfectly accommodating. It goes right along the water there once you get past Reggie's cabins.
So, thanks, Jeremiah. So those sorts of things, I think, would be the things that we would talk about when we get to that point of trying to figure out, okay, we've got this gap from point A to point B. You know, what's the input on it? So that effort hasn't been undertaken yet. So when we get there, I think that's the kind of stuff we'll be looking for. Anything else on that?
No, no hands.
Nope.
Okay. 2A, Downtown Embarcadero Business Improvement District. Bids are basically districts whereby people pay into collective fund for specific improvements, specific defined improvements. The Morbay T bid, Tourist Improvement District, is an example of one of those. On every hotel stay, there's an amount levied that goes to marketing. Comes out of every hotel stay. So the Morbay Chamber of Commerce is currently reviewing the feasibility of a bid in the downtown Embarcadero areas this year. I haven't seen or heard of any activity going on with that right now, but I anticipate that when it does start up, to have our revisor board could be involved in assessing maybe the viability or the providing input, defining what such a bid area might do and what some of the needs are. Like sort of more input to a needs assessment. So that's what I anticipate the Harbor Advisory Board's role in that part would be, not in creating the T-bid or being a part of the T-bid. Questions on that?
Nope.
I don't see any hands, but I did talk to Erica today and asked her for an update, and she has not had a chance to start working on it, but we did discuss what it might look like. So it's in the future. Something that she wants to maybe even come and do a presentation when the time is right and for the Harbor Advisory Board. In fact, she offered to come and do a presentation for any of these items because she's really knowledgeable. She has a lot of information. So if there's any of these goal-related Harbor Advisory Board issues, we could always call on her. She's very flexible and wants to be here for some information. So there's that.
All right. That?
Nope.
All right. 2B Market Plaza. The city is currently reviewing a proposal on that Market Plaza property that I explained a little bit earlier. I don't see the HAB being directly involved with that, but they may have some ancillary input. There may be on some design review or other elements that touch on the harbor or the waterfront. Right now, I've got no recommended harbor action. There's no activity going until committee development moves that process a little further forward into the public realm. The Harbor Advisory Board's got nothing to work on that at this time. Any questions? Nope. Okay. Two C, G, and 4A. Those are all the Vista storage, battery storage project. Again, they're proposing at least what today, if built, would be the largest battery storage project on the planet, where the old tank farm formerly stood. It's anticipated it's going to have impacts and ramifications on the waterfront, and the HAB may provide some input for that, or maybe some of the public benefits that get proposed out of that. But right now, we're just in the initial negotiating phases with Vistra and what may or may not be possible, and defining what the project's going to be and what the public impacts or public benefits may need to be to offset any impacts. So that's all pretty preliminary right now. So there's no recommended to have a Harbor Advisory Board action at this time on that. Any questions? Okay. Seeing none, getting down there. So on 2D, which is the climate action, organic waste disposal. Back in the day when we used to have several fish processors and a lot of organic waste being developed, we had San Luis Tower would drive in every day and take away all the fish waste. Well, those days are gone. We don't have very little fish processing. But legal disposal of those carcasses has not always been easy. And now the state of California is mandating reductions in the organic waste going into the standard landfill, and it's got to be routed into an organic waste stream. These new requirements take effect in January 2022. I think the law is a little bit ahead of the technology. The city did put together, I think it's run by a private firm, but they've got a big organic digester in San Luis somewhere, I'm not sure where it is, that's meant to take all the commercial and household generated organic waste, and it digests it and puts out whatever the heck it puts out, but there's really not a good collection system right now for the fish waste. I think for the regular business garbage, like restaurants, you know, the organic garbage, they've got to separate it out and put it into a separate stream that'll go to this digester. Fish carcasses is a little different. They're heavy. They can have a fair amount of volume. And if you leave them very long outside, they don't smell very well. So there's not a really good system to collect and store that stuff until a truck can come around and take it. So we've been working with Eric at the Chamber, and we've got a group, a citizen group, trying to look at some of the solutions for that, and our folks that generate carcasses. Basically, it's Togazzini's Fish Market, Giovanni's Fish Market, the recreational fishermen down at the launch ramp. Are sort of the three main sources of carcasses. Oh, and the party boat operators, Burgess and Patriot, they produce a fair amount of carcasses, and those things really shouldn't go, into the bay. I know. I think some of the party boaters tend to send them that direction, but it's not great for the environment when pelicans start trying to eat rockfish carcasses. So trying to figure out a way to get all that into the organic waste stream. So I can see the Harbor Advisory Board assist this working group, the citizens working group, and maybe we'll bring some recommendations to the HAB at some point if we've got some potential solutions. So that's where we're at on that item. Any questions?
Yes, I have one. It's been about a month since I've been out into a sterile bay, but I know whenever I do go out, I see the the commercial boats coming back in, and they are followed by lots of birds. I assume that they are cutting up their fish and dumping it overboard.
They are.
Do that all the way into Morrow Bay.
Right.
Are we not allowed to do that?
It is legal outside of the harbor. Again, it's probably not the most environmentally friendly thing, mainly because of the pelicans. But once they get inside the harbor, that per Morrow Bay Municipal Code becomes not legal. So from my department standpoint, I'd rather see them keep all those carcasses on board and bring them to shore and get them into the organic waste stream. The logistics of that is going to be the tough part. That's what our group is trying to work on. And even, like I said, even outside the harbor, I think they ought to collect them and not toss them over the side. But you're right, that's why the birds are falling, because all those carcasses are going over the
side. So is this digester the same one that picks up our green waste from households here in Morrow Bay?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremiah has his hand up too.
Jeremiah?
I just wanted to clarify, Lynn, you said commercial fishing, the birds are following the commercial fishing boats?
No, not the Patriot, the recreational party boats.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. They do follow often the commercial boats coming in, and a lot of times the guys, what they're doing is unhooking their bait, you know, so that there's bait left on the hooks from the ganyons that they set, and a lot of times unhooking the bait and throwing it over is just little small chunks. The birds will follow the boat.
Yeah, but they are not in the large numbers as coming in from the recreational, the commercial.
I got you. Okay.
The sport boats.
Hookers.
That's what I'm saying.
So. Anything else on that? Okay, 2E and 4C are offshore wind power generation. I probably don't need to go into a ton of detail, but Bureau of Ocean Energy Management is working on leasing offshore areas for wind power development, about roughly 400 square miles, about 20 miles offshore Cambria, about 30 miles out of Morrow Bay. Castle Wind, which is formerly Trident Wind, came to Morrow Bay about 5 years ago saying they wanted to develop. They worked with the city and put together a community benefits agreement with the city. They went to the Morrow Bay Ports and those commercial fishermen's organizations and got mitigation agreements executed with them. Process has moved along. The wind farms look like they're going to grow bigger than what Castle originally anticipated. So BOEM, California Energy Commission, who were just here this week, meeting with the fishermen and some of the tribal leaders, are trying to get together and figure out how to mitigate what the impacts will be to the commercial fishing fleet. Obviously, there's a lot of other potential impacts to the environment, from whales to birds to and then to human uses, including boat transit. So there's a lot of moving parts going on. like I said, with the city engaged with Castle, we saw as an economic development opportunity that there will be a wire coming ashore here to go to the power plant. That's has access to the power grid. But the city's concerned about the impacts, not just on our fishermen, but on the environment. So we're an engaged player in that process. BOEM basically has a comment period out right now. The city has submitted to several other comment periods in the past. We'll probably be submitting comments to this period as well. It closes, I think, January 10th. As far as the Harbor Advisory Board goes, I would imagine that as we move through or as BOEM moves through the planning and permitting process, there may be opportunities for the Harbor Advisory Board to provide some input to the City Council to help the City Council take positions and make recommendations. So it's probably a couple-year process just to get through sort of the planning and permitting and environmental assessment. And so I see the HAB can have a role helping advise the Council on how to negotiate all those minefields. So right now I don't have any recommended action that we're asking the HAB to participate in here. Alla Weinstein, who's one of the principals of Capital or of Castle, has come to the Harbor Advisory Board a couple times in the last few years. I can certainly see her coming back sometime in the not too distant future as they move a little closer to the putting out the leases, the BOEM putting out the leases. So, but right now I don't see any need for activity at this time. Questions?
Okay. The amount of money, the $250,000 that Castle paid the city as for goodwill, I guess you'd call it, Did the harbor benefit in any way from that?
It's still sitting there. I don't think we've taken anything out of it. We earmarked, I want to say $40,000 for that Coleman restroom, because the grant we got for the restroom was just a little short, so I think we earmarked $40,000 for it. The rest of the funding, I believe, out of Castle, I have earmarked to go to the Beach Street commercial fishing boat slips replacement in this year's capital budget. So, yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Anything else on that one? Okay. 2F and 2H, infrastructure funding and revenue enhancement. Basically, they speak to the same thing, providing adequate funding for the city's infrastructure and other services. The staff recommendation is to have continue to come up with ideas and engage in seeking additional enhanced revenues to meet our capital infrastructure and other service needs. Like, say, the RV program was one of those. Other things we've looked at. Stay involved and keep coming up with good ideas that we can run down. Any question on any of those? Okay, and last but not least, 4B, opportunities to improve the bike and pedestrian network. The city is going to embark on an effort to see, maybe where some of the gaps in the bike and pedestrian network are in the city. Anticipated that we'll have weigh-in on portions of that as it affects the waterfront and Embarcadero as ideas and gap analysis comes forward. No recommended HAB action activity this time until some of that stuff starts to come forward. Questions? Okay, so I guess in conclusion, this sort of represents what I anticipate our HAB work plan will look like for the rest of this year and into 2022. I think a lot of these are a work in process. And while we may develop more ad hoc committees, we've got a few already up and running that are doing a lot of work on several of these, which we really appreciate. As normal, committees will report to the HAB. The HAB can make recommendations and to the City Council, and that's generally how the process works. So don't anticipate that being any different, and look forward to continuing to work forward into the future with that stuff.
All right. So before we start the discussion, let's open up public comment right now. Say we have any public comment or questions. Hyland, is there anyone in the queue?
Val was on. She dropped. I'm bummed.
Oh, she was okay. Anybody else in the queue? I can't see this queue that you see.
You go to the participants list. You open it up. You can see who's a panelist, who's an attendee.
All right. Well, Nobody? Okay, so she was our one.
Yeah, there was a couple other people that
came in. I can answer my own. We put it out there. We put it, the energy out there. Okay, so you talked about what it is that you want to do. So I see quite a few of those that are small, but we want to keep it up to date. You know, we want to keep our ears open for activity in those particular fields. One of the things that we asked for in our August 18th letter is we asked for them to work on the rock portion of the waterfront master plan, talking with Erica and with other people who are involved in city issues. A lot of the things that they're asking for us to have as goals are things that if you're going to do any changes, you're going to look at the current waterfront master plan in order to decide how it is that you're going to go about these changes. So it's an outdated piece that we're supposed to use as our template to figure out how to solve some of these goals, right, Eric?
Well, the waterfront master plans, as you bring it up, so the general plan and the local coastal program have both been approved. They're recently approved by the California Coastal Commission after several years of city effort to push those through. The add-ons to those, the things that make the general plan and local coastal program come to life, so to speak, are the master plans, the sort of the sub plans underneath those, the chapters underneath, the waterfront master plan being one of those. Those are whole separate planning processes, vetting processes, public, you know, much like the general plan, local coastal program. Take the old, you know, the existing template, and how do we want to change it? Where do we want to go? How do we make it do what the new general plan and local coastal program say we're going to do? So the rock, the notion of the rock being sort of it would be part of the waterfront master plan. It is in the current waterfront master plan, but if we want to, the notion that they have brought up is, can we take the rock and instead of, because doing the entire waterfront master plan is going to be a pretty big undertaking, fairly expensive. City's going to have to identify funding and a timeline to do it, just like they did with the GP and LCP. The notion they have brought up was, can we take the rock as sort of a subset of the waterfront master plan and do it by itself? And so that could come up, as I stated in my staff report, in the improving parks portion of the city's goal that they adopted this year.
I see it everywhere. I see it in 1G. There's even 1A, 1D, 1B, 1F, 1H, 2A, 2C, GA. All of those things have something to do with the waterfront master plan. And I mean, that's...
Oh, sure, yeah.
One of the things that I wrote down that I wanted to do is because I wanted some more clarification on, because we put out the letter in August 18th and they didn't respond specifically for HAB's goals to be worked on. We just looked throughout their goals that they listed and we picked apart what we thought that we could continue working on. Is there any way, maybe Scott is still on board, to answer, or Eric, how we can just say, hey, can you be a little bit more specific? Because we really wanted to work on this and you didn't respond to our letter.
Yeah, I mean, we took input from 5 advisory boards, not just HAB. So we have to balance all those needs. And our planning department, community development department, has to implement the housing elements, get the zoning code through the Planning Commission, Council, and Coastal Commission. So it's primarily a workload capacity issue. Doing a master plan for the waterfront would be almost $1 million-plus endeavor, would take basically all elements of the city to complete it, and would need to be led by the community development department. They simply do not have the capacity to do that. So council had to make the choice of what's the highest priority. And right now it's declaring a climate action emergency has been stated as a key goal. So we're focusing our energy there and then also on the affordable housing crunch. So that's where council is asking our community development department to apply their efforts. So the master plan for the waterfront was simply to have to wait a little bit. But your point is well taken as far as, you know, there's some piecemealing that would have to occur in the meantime, and that's just, we're a very small city, you know, and so we can only do so much at one time.
All right.
Yeah, so it's basically a prioritization effort, Charisse, and that's, this is what came out of that.
Okay.
And, and I'm going to, just to maybe make you feel a little better, I'm going to go through the HABS memo to the council, you know, the seven items on there, eight items on there. Review of revenue enhancement options. That's in there. That's in review of opportunities for revenue enhancements. That's in there.
They didn't respond to.
Most of them are in there. Review of parking management options, paid parking and other parking stuff, that's in there. General plan, local coastal program, that's pretty well wrapped up and done. Zoning code updates are still underway, but we're about done with that. Boatyard and marine services, well, now they didn't put boatyard in there again. And other necessary infrastructure, but the infrastructure capital planning, capital assessment, that all speaks to that. So in a way, it's in there. Facilitate and advise on harbor impacts to offshore wind. Offshore wind's in there. We're engaged in that. Market Street Plaza Centennial Plaza redevelopment. Market Plaza's in there. Master planning of the Morro Rock Northern Waterfront. Well, yeah, not exactly in there, but could fit into the public parks thing. So most of them did make their way into the goals in one form or another. Not exactly, discreetly, but most of them, I think, have a place in one way or another in the goals.
All right. Okay, so looking at all of these, we're continuing. We have ad hoc committees or working groups that are moving towards all of these things. There are... let's see, I wrote it down, several items that don't really fall under any of our current ad hoc committees. So as far as like an ask from the Harbor Advisory Board, should we ask other members if we should start an ad hoc committee for any one of these things that doesn't really fit into the parking ad hoc committee or the budget? I can list those things, and then maybe if nobody wants, if we don't need an ad hoc committee, maybe we have one person be responsible for keeping tabs and gathering information as things evolve on those items. Does that sound like a good way of going about that? So, yes, Eric.
Here's just my two cents, Charisse. We are on the cusp of a 2-month break and possibly one or two new members. So, would that be something that'd be worthwhile to pick up in February when we start the new year?
I agree.
Yeah, I don't want to lose a bunch of time, but
what we're doing, what I'm suggesting is that as this goes, we know that like the first one was be budget, second one would be in committee already. There's just a couple little guys that are lingering, and
if
we can get understanding that one of us is going to be responsible, and obviously, Lynn is not going to sign up for it, and Jean is going to reapply, so we're not necessarily sure, but we're not going to have that much of a transition as far as that goes. So I just want somebody to keep their ears out, because again, we're going to have a 2-month break, and it means that nobody's going to do anything. It just kind of puts one person responsible to like look at those things and
something to do the week before the meeting starts.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to run down the line really quickly.
Sure.
In a second. So the first one, capital assessment, it's covered by budget.
Yep.
Paid parking by the parking. Coleman Park grants, the budget, and we signed up for that. So that's taken care of. Traffic circulation, they're talking about adding that to the parking.
Makes sense.
Okay. So, and then improving parks. I think that...
It revolves around, it sounds like it falls in the money side of it, wouldn't it?
Right. So I would say we can assign that to the group that was working on the grants.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is still budget. So we're still growing that under budget. The harbor completion of Harbor Walk. So that might be something bigger. Can we have one person to volunteer to keep their ear on the street for completion of Harbor Walk? Anybody?
Chris just raised his hand. I think he did.
Who did?
Chris.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Well, I would be happy to volunteer, except my screen has gone screwy, so I'm trying to get myself back.
Yeah, we can see you all right.
I can't see you.
So if you take that, what that means is, like, right now there's not a whole lot of work, but start researching it at your leisure. And then as things evolve, bring it back to our attention.
Okay, with all due respect, explain to me again what I just volunteered.
Item 1H, completion of Harbor Walk. So in other words...
I'd be happy to.
Right. Okay. Perfect. All right. And now we have the Downtown and Embarcadero Business Improvement District. I'm going to keep my ear to that because I've been working with Erica and it's part of my outreach.
Yeah.
So,
EML.
Unless somebody wants to take that on. The Market Plaza. Anybody want to keep knowledge on Market Plaza?
Sure, I'll volunteer for that one.
All right. I definitely will be. So we have somebody. We have two people now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Vistra battery storage. Anybody want to keep themselves updated on that and come back to us on any of those movement on Vistra? All right.
If nobody else takes it, Teresa, I'll take it.
You would be a great candidate for that because I know all of the things that you're on. You're just going to hear about it no matter what.
Yeah. Can you need help with that, Jeremiah? Let me know. That'd be kind of, I find that whole power generation and technology interesting. So.
Yeah, and I will. I'll pass that on to Cal when they come up with different meetings and whatnot. Sure. The organic waste disposal, Eric, you said that this being a goal, and I know that that's the group that I'm on with, right? Crap. Where are you?
I can't believe you said that.
I'm sorry. Should we ask the group if we can add another HAB board member to this since it's a goal now?
I don't know that we need to ask the group. I guess we should. Does anybody want to volunteer for it?
Well, not that our group. I'm saying like the group that started it. Who actually started that?
Oh, I think it was Erica and Greg Qualick from Public Works, because Public Works was dealing with constant calls for service for bird poo, and Erica was engaged with the party boat fleet and their concerns with organic waste disposal and how to do it, and so it just kind of formed.
Okay, so I'll say that I'm just going to stay on that group, but we'll ask Greg and Erica if they feel like it would be a good thing to add on another member, because there's only so many people in a group and then it gets too big, so I wouldn't want to overwhelm them and just add somebody without asking. All right, so, and then offshore wind power generation. Anyone?
Sure. Those are the batteries.
Oh.
And again, 2 months of paying attention to it, if somebody who does come on board or Gene, reapplies and is affirmed, that would be something that, you can pass on all of that information so you're not overwhelmed.
Cal, just out of curiosity, do you want to swap?
Vistra for...
Vistra, sure.
Yeah, because the wind more impacts you than it does... Because you're out in the water, so it's more...
Yeah, and we've been working on this also, Cal, for about 6 years.
Sure.
And,
okay.
So, yeah, that would be... I think it would work better for everybody.
Okay, perfect. So I get the batteries, you get the windmills.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. And then finally, the circulation, the improved bike and pedestrian network, I think that could just be added into the parking.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of the same issues.
Okay. So at least we have our, you know, our people who have said that, you know, our groups that are going to be responsible for following through with these items. Anybody want to try and create a motion to accept all of those things?
Oh, man. I'll give it a try, Therese. So here goes. So, I don't have to reiterate all the assignments, do I?
No. Just have to...
Let's see. So they put forward a motion to include the various goals that have been discussed in Eric's staff report and have those either assigned to the appropriate ad hoc committee and or individuals as discussed. That sound reasonable enough?
Perfect. I'll second.
Okay. And I'll give you a read off of those. So,
okay.
Improving parks was the grant group. It's already there, budget and finance. Completion of Harbor Walk, Chris, Member Vale.
Yes.
The bids, downtown business improvement districts, Embarcadero, that was Charisse. Market Plaza, that was Cal. Vistra Battery Storage Project, Cal. Organic Waste Disposal, Charisse. Offshore Wind Power, Jeremiah, and Bike Pedestrian Network was added to the parking group.
And we skipped the infrastructure funding and revenue enhancement ones thing, but I think that'll be the finance subgroup, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Got a motion and a second?
Yes, we do. Do we need to take a vote?
We'll do a roll call vote. Member Dottie?
Yes.
Member Meissen?
Yay.
Member Myers?
Yes.
Member O'Brien?
Yes.
Member Vale?
Yes.
Member Witkowski?
Yes.
Chair Hansen?
Yes.
Yeah. Unanimous. Who made the second? Was that you, Charisse?
I did. Charisse did.
Okay.
All right. Any more comments on the goals item? I think we can move on. Is Scott still with us?
He is not.
No.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott, for joining us and giving us all that information. Okay, so we're going to move on to our next item, which is parking. Wait, I'm still on here. Agenda item B2, update from the Parking Management Paid Parking Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. So we have a chair on that who also put in some information. Let's see. The CAB input for the Embarcadero Parking Management Plan that was enclosed in... All right, added to the agenda. Would you like to elaborate or summarize that for the group?
Sure, I'd love to. So
let me jump in real quick, Kel. So I think you got a pretty good idea of the process-wise where we're at from our goals discussion.
Yep.
And where we're going to go with that and some good input from Scott. So... great memo you put out. Appreciate all the hard work, so I'll just let you go through that. And again, not expecting any have action on this. I suspect we will in the future when we start digging into the real plan and figure out exactly what we're doing. So I think you've already answered a lot of the questions, and I think even the the consultant that put together the proposal to do the parking management or parking paid parking pilot looked at some of your memo information and used that to advise and
cool.
And what they put together. So it was a good help for them.
Actually, that was kind of somewhat the goal, was to try to get a little bit ahead of the city. So a lot of these things weren't discovered very late, because I think, you know, from what I've seen other beach cities, we have a lot of unique constraints. They're not unique by themselves, but all combined together, at least in my mind, we're, you know, it's a weird combination of things and all in one little tiny spot. But for the rest of the group, again, we put together the parking ad hoc. Included several community members representing some of the business leases, the hotelers, some other businesses, the restaurants, you know, community at large, the river boards, and parking invokes passion. So the first couple meetings were, you know, kind of, you know, getting the laundry list of you know, the passions out of the way so we could actually get to more of the nuts and bolts of what would work. The memo that you see now, we actually took a couple different versions and rewrites to get it to where it was and kind of turned it more into a white paper. But the executive summary, which is pretty much the first page, essentially says, if you're going to do it, you know, do a small spot along the Embarcadero, which are sort of those prize spots, and try to, if paid parking is going to be put in place, is to put it at the most valuable spots to get those turnover spots, you know, every 2 hours, and see if at least the leaseholders can get more revenue out of it. Because that's really, you know, was identified in the Walker study, and just a casual walk down to the Embarcadero and, you know, first thing in the morning, you see, you know, none of the businesses are open, but all the parking spots are taken, and it's presumably, you know, by the people that are getting the businesses open. We see a lot of the same cars down there day in, day out. In the one section at the very end, you know, tried to identify those big ticket items that we knew were going to cause a lot of grief. You know, the live aboard, some of the fishermen, and the, you know, where do those people park? And so this, again, not totally, you know, solve the problems, but tried to at least get them identified. The other option that we had on the table was, like, you know, either do nothing or at least a minimum just sort of restripe things that didn't involve paid parking per se, but might be able to make the balloon a little bit bigger by restriping Pacific or, you know, putting in some other, you know, option out there to claim more parking spots, like the lot next to Sun and Buns right behind below Blue Sail Inn. The report does need a little bit of, it needs another round of proofing, so there's a few comma splices and sentences I don't like, but there's no little fundamental changes. I think everybody that worked on it more or less agrees with the content that's in there. That's pretty much all I'm going to say. I mean, I can step through the document, but I don't think it, you know, it fits with everybody else's passion. I think we captured that in the memo.
It's completely readable.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So as a member on that, I just wanted to add my own thing. But before I do that, Chris, did you want to add anything?
Well, no, I think that, no, not tonight.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. You know, I'm pleased as punch to hear that your letter was received from a working group that is going to present this thing to the city council. So I think that that's a great thing that
happened,
which again, I know that we're ahead of the curve and everything, but you know, if you have information before you decide what the next process is, and all our thing is if we're going to vote on that, I value the fact that they're using our work now. And that's why we were doing what we were doing. So based on that, one further thing that I just wanted to add, that I think that I will continue to work on, or a group might be continuing to work on, during this two-month hiatus is what it is that we can actually do now without going into the pilot parking, because they're talking about pilot paid parking, but we kept trying to like encompass management in that. And so there are things that can be done, and I've been throughout the day talking, you know, to different business owners, talking to the chamber, talking to the GAC. Some of the things that we came up with, and even the EML, Embarcadero Master Leaseholders, all the things that were like problematic, there are things that can be done now. That's not a pilot paid parking issue. And so if there's something that we can do now, and this paid parking is going to take a really long time, then I want to put that out there. So what we talked about, and it's in your thing too, but just drilling home, making the parking restriped on Pacific could increase parking spaces for employees. The large free parking arrow wayfinding sign that should be posted in front of the triangle lot would actually increase that usage and also be an indicator for the charter boats and employees that it's actually not just, you know, storage now. It's not just marine museum. It's not RV parking. It's still free parking, and it's not being utilized because it's not known anymore. And then three letters to the Embarcadero businesses requesting workers park in the above mentioned areas such as Pacific and Triangle Lot. And then four, reestablishing time limits in the parking lots northwest of Beach Street. So in other words, in front of the Great American Fish Company. It's something that's in place already. It's just not striped that way. I know that it was actually passed, and it can be that, but it's not enforced. And it can be randomly enforced. It doesn't have to be all the time, which makes it a major city cost. And so, anyway, those things I'm going to continue to work on as far as, like, trying to get it known there. And, Chris, I see your hand. Just one.
Okay, go ahead.
So, anyway, those are the things that I think we're going to keep working on. We're not going to vote on it or anything like that. But when I brought it to the attention of the EML and the chamber and the business, they all were just like, you know what? None of those negatively affect me. So why can't we do it? So, anyway, Chris?
Well, I just want to, you know, have your back on this. You're absolutely right. And the people I've talked to agree. And I even know some employees of two different stores who have taken it upon themselves to say, to heck with it, I'm going up on the side street. It's perfectly easy for me to do when I get there in the morning, blah, blah, blah. People are willing to cooperate on that basis, and we should turn it into, you know, promote your own town, promote your own job, promote your own boss. Logic that is, and they won't be perfect, but if we can get some help from the 100 cars that potentially belong to employees, shop owners and stuff, man, that'd be a great place to start. And there is no reason to wait at all. So I'm with that.
Mary, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I wanted to say, like, I'm obsessed with, like, the scrappy solutions. I love that. But the, like, I'm so for it. The only thing I want to call out, though, is if we're changing, like, multiple variables like this at the same time as we're doing, like, a paid parking program, we might not get, like, clear signal on, like, how much of it is actually success of paid parking versus, like, other things that are free that we're doing. So I think that's just, like, something to...
No, it's a PR issue.
Well, yeah, something to flag, like, if we're trying to do this experiment and we're, like, have also done all these great free things, like, if we're doing this, like, I don't know how we're going to be measuring the success of the experiment, but how do we make sure that, like, they're not falsely attributed to one thing or another? Because we've, like, now we're changing all these different variables.
Oh, Well, maybe a year before we get the actual paid parking, the meter's in anyway. So.
Yeah, true. If we have, because, I mean, if we have a new, it just, like, depends on the timeline. If we go full bore and we, like, try to implement these now and then we have a new, like, year baseline of data, then we'd be fine. Sorry, Chris. Go.
Well, first of all, I think Laurel Bay does well at full bore. Which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is just as a reminder of that triangle lot should be marked and there should be directions and people should be able to park there for free. I think it's a very logical use. And there's several discussions, even in putting another perhaps entrance in so that you can get through it without a bottleneck. But the other thing is currently we have camping there. And that, by the time you get people trying to park for free with people paying to camp, with people trying to get their boats on trailers out of the fenced lot, I envision chaos, which is sometimes fun. I'm just saying these things have to happen in a logical format. You can't just go dump 50 cars in the triangle lot without making some changes there first. I'm done.
All right. Yeah, Mary, in regards to... I would have to think that any changes that are going to happen as far as the pilot program are far off, and I don't think that they would happen in the summer. And to tell you the truth, I really want something done before next summer as far as parking goes on the Embarcadero. It's not good. It's not good for locals. It's not good for employers. And those things are there right now. So, waiting in order to see if the pilot program works. It also depends on where it is that they want to do this pilot program. And so maybe we'll look at that as like, how do they measure it? Because where they're going to actually put it. Like one of the things that they talked about is putting it in the Destacios underneath the parking lot that's across from Roses. And to me, that's not a good pilot spot because they're trying to sell that property. So if it does work there, but then you're going to take it away, why would you do that? So there's a lot of different parts about it, but I'll definitely think of, well, we can, as far as the parking committee, definitely think about if they're going to do a pilot, how would they measure it, knowing that we just made some changes.
Sure.
All right.
Should I move to approve, receive in your guys' update, or do we have to do that for that line item? You're on mute. Sorry, Sharice.
Yeah, we have to vote on it, I don't think.
There's no need for a motion.
Yeah.
No, it's just a receive and file. You don't need to do anything. And you're muted, Sharice.
Away.
We can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
I've been talking this whole time.
Yes, you have.
My fault.
All right. Did somebody make a motion to receive?
I'm needed.
Eric said we don't have to.
Okay. All right. So we're moving on to the next agenda item, which I think is budget.
Marine Services.
Marine Services. Okay, so who's the chair of Marine Services?
I am.
All right, would you like to give us any updates?
Sure. I've had informal conversations with Ron Reisner, with Dana McLeish, with our fellow Bruce Marshall, who did the Marshall study in 98-99, and Cal's a member of the committee, too. We have not held a meeting because we've been busy down at your place discussing the park. But what we will do is I'll start with Ernest before the February meeting and have something to report, which I am thinking, just as a pet peeve, that I might report in such a way that the city council actually gets it on paper, since they seem to leave boatyards and marine facilities out of their reactions. So that's my plan. So in February, I probably have something concrete to say.
now she's on mute again.
Does anybody have any questions for the Marine Services additions? Seeing none, we'll just receive and file and move on to the next item, which is the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee.
Well, Mary, you have the most details, probably.
I can give an update on one thing. We've been working on a erosion grant, specifically for the rock revetment. And we're trying to have a draft by around the 5th of December, and the grant's due on the 15th. So we've been pushing for that.
Cool. When they were talking about the Harbor Walk and continuing the Harbor Walk, was there anything, so the revetment that you're doing, it will it create any kind of walking area? I mean, I know that it's going to reinforce the seawall, but is there any, you know?
It's on the beach side, isn't it, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't, I don't think there'd be any intent to try and build any kind of anything else other than just rebuild the revetment, the failing rock.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd ask. Okay. So we're just going to, anybody else have any questions?
I do, when we were looking at that particular grant source, it sounded like it was ongoing. There was an opportunity to look at some of the seawalls further in the bay. I think the Oyster Beach area you mentioned, Eric. If this one is successful, or even if it's not, would we apply another additional time to look at other areas, that same grant source?
I think this one is annual from what I saw.
Okay.
This one's due on the 15th. I think what Eric and I had talked about is like, if we're successful, or even if we aren't successful this time, like now that we know about this, maybe we pursue like different items next year.
You're okay.
And typically you apply for grants like this when you're not successful. Usually grant administrators, you'll get a good amount of input back out of them. You know, you can pick their brains, and they're pretty forthcoming. Hey, what did we need to do? Where did we go wrong?
I mean, they want to give the money away.
Yeah, they find out. You find out who was successful and why, and you can come back next time. But yeah, this is an annual grant program for floating water. It's been around for quite a while.
Okay.
The one that is ongoing is the one that Charisse flagged with the EDA. That one actually technically doesn't have a due date. So once we give the city the support they need with the RRT, I'm going to say grant, like we could potentially still continue our work with the EDA one. There's no deadline.
Okay. Cool. All right. No further questions.
Okay. I have two budget kind of questions. One of the things that I talked to Erica about today was the American Rescue Plan Act. Eric, we got the city of Morro Bay received approval for $2 million. Is that correct?
Sounds right. A lot of that, and I don't know the great details about it. I think decent amount of that. Some of that goes back into hard costs we had because of the pandemic, PPE stuff. I think some of it goes back into maybe some personnel reimbursement stuff for costs we incurred. I'm not super up on where that funding goes.
I think we should look into it again because what I understood is that we received $1 million last year and that we're going to receive another $1 million this year. And it's going to be one of those things that if the Harbor Department meets any of the criteria for that funding, we need to let them know about it so they can earmark some of it towards the Harbor Department. I just think that that's a really valuable thing that perhaps we need. You could use our support in researching what it is. So just add that into the budget for next meeting that we can help with that.
Okay. I can look into more where that. I know that funding was pretty restricted on what you could use it on. I just don't know the great details on it. So I can look into that.
I bet we can find some things that meet the criteria. Okay, so Vistra, I just wanted to bring this into the light as far as the Harbor Advisory Board goes. If and when they do the development and everything goes as planned, they're going to turn that property into a multi-million dollar property, which will pay property taxes, which those property taxes, a portion will go to the city. And I think that the budget committee needs to be thinking about that in long-term aspects of what it means to the Harbor Department and the budget and the funding for the budget. So just adding that because I found out about that.
This is like the stacks area, the intake building, and the power generation plant, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's not something that Vistra would be giving the city money. It's just they got to pay 1% towards property taxes. Well, that property tax, a portion goes to the city. And so it's something that the Harbor Advisory Board should always keep in their back of their mind as far as, like, what would we want to ask for and what is reasonable, especially since Vistra is right there on our block.
Is there any set of circumstances, Eric, where that would get transferred to the Tidelands Trust?
I didn't want to burst Teresa's bubble, but it's outside the Tidelands Trust, so I wouldn't anticipate any of that.
Increase
would come to the Harbor Fund.
But is there any chance where it could be transferred to the Tidelands Trust?
I think probably our best bet from seeing any benefit from that is going to be in the permit conditions of the project itself and the public benefit that they have to do to do that project, which is still yet to be defined.
Parking structure and a boatyard?
Who knows?
Okay.
I feel differently about it. I feel like as far as property taxes go, I know that it isn't going to go into the Tidelands Trust Fund, but it can go towards things that benefit the harbor because that area affects the harbor. And so there could be asks, is what I'm saying, from that money that's going to come in to the city that should be part of Harbor Department funding for possibly infrastructure. Anyway, it's something to just know that it's out there, and if you have the right ask, I think we need to ask it.
Yep.
But in the far, far future.
I agree.
Lynn, you had up for something?
Yeah, wouldn't that be allocated the same way it was before Dynegy closed down when we were realizing at that time some income from Dynegy and from the power plant that went to Harbor?
Well, the revenue we got from that, Lynn, was from the outfall lease.
Oh.
The revenue the city got from the power plant operation was property tax because of the value of the property was higher.
Right.
It also got a gas franchise tax, depending on how much gas, basically Southern California Gas delivered a sale of gas took place within city limits from Southern California Gas to the power plant.
Mm.
So there's a gas franchise tax that took place because of that we used to generate revenue off of.
Okay, well, to me it was all revenue, so that came from the power plant. But thank you for the clarification, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Can I raise my hand?
All right, Gene, go for it.
Yeah, the intake building is fee property. It's not part of the waterfront leases. So, for your information.
Is what property?
It's fee property. Company owns it. It's
fee
not
simple.
Part of the waterfront leases.
Private property. Fee simple.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. So that finishes my questions or comments for the budget. Any other additions to Budget and Finance Committee? Seeing none, we will move on to the next one, which is B5 agenda, outreach, public engagement. So I'm going to go down the line as far as what it says at the top, except for me. So Member Dowdy, do you have any comments for your public outreach?
I have talked to some of the commercial sport fishing boats, and they're still trying to catch some bluefin tuna up north a little bit. That's good to hear. As far as the maritime component, because these high tides and the way the eelgrass is breaking up, which is natural during this time of year, that's caused some problems. But besides that, everything seemed to be moving along. I have to apologize for not getting online earlier. I had some technical difficulties. But I was going to make a comment that, John Lindsay's weather report, he's predicting that perhaps it's long range, but perhaps the next 2 weeks we may have strong winds, strong southerly winds, heavy rain.
Really? No. Sound like rain.
Yes. Okay, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Member Dowdy. Okay, next up, Member Meissen.
No comment.
Okie dokie, Member Myers.
I have not done any outreach this session, but I need to get on it.
All righty, dighty. Member O'Brien. Jeremiah, where'd you go? You're muted.
Hang on. There we go. Yeah, this week we, the Fishermen's Organization and the Harbor Department met with, I think Eric pretty well covered it, so I'll be brief, did meet with Minerals Management, the Coastal Commission, Department of Fish and Game, and BOA. And it was, I believe, a good meeting. They seem to want to assist. We'll see to what degree the fishing industry and the city also to help mitigate the offshore wind. And we're hoping to get them to include us, meaning the commercial fishing industry, in the permit process. And tomorrow I have a class from Cal Poly coming down the boat. Hopefully we'll make a tour of the harbor. We do this fairly frequently. Seems like every month or so we get a class from Cal Poly, and we take them around the harbor and show them. Explain to them what goes on, and if they have any questions, we try to answer them for them. That's about it.
All right. Thank you so much.
What majors are these students? What are they studying that they come down and go for a ride with fishermen?
You know, it's always in the marine biology, and these guys, I think, are
it's the Center for Coastal Marine Sciences. They through the Cal Poly Center for Coastal Marine Sciences, and they the majors are usually marine biology and that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Member Vail.
Things seem to be on the back burner as far as talking to two organizations I have lined up. One is Quota, because everybody's busy shopping. I have my sort of cadre of people I talk to about things we discuss, things that are going on. And talking to people about parking, not to dwell on it, but it's really difficult because you can't find a happy note with people who live in Los Osos, who think they're going to have to pay parking when they go to Morro Bay. It's going to be interesting to see how all of this unfolds. And I've been talking to, I know there's some vendors and on the waterfront and employees, and I am getting a lot of cooperation, at least an attitude from them, about parking off the Embarcadero or getting their cars the heck out of the way. We're not in front of Charisse's business. That's it.
All right, cool. Okay, so Member Witkowski.
Yeah, I checked in with Coast Guard Auxiliary. They have a new flotilla commander stepping up soon, so I'll be, like, introducing myself to him once they're all turned over. Also checked in with the Coast Guard next to Eric. Nothing to report there. And then also with State Parks, there's also a new lead for the Natural History Museum. So, I introduced myself, and we are meeting soon just to chat about what the HAB does.
Awesome. That sounds like a good conversation to have with them. Okay. So thanks, everybody, for getting out there and talking to your outreach groups. My outreach groups is getting bigger. So one of them was schools. I didn't get a chance to do the elementary levels, but Cal Poly, we're talking about possibly having a speaker come, seeing what their situation is. It would be really nice. They've put in they have a parking management specialist that is in-house at Cal Poly, and she has offered to come and be to put in a presentation for us, just to talk about what has worked for them and just to answer our questions, which I think would be a really great addition. So I'm working that into a possible future presentation for HAB. Chamber. So November was a shop local month. They did a lot of local, you know, trying to market different businesses and just to get the word out to shop locally. Like I said, they're doing the gala. They're actually going to do the Avo Marg Fest, but they're going to do it this year less of a drinking frenzy and more of the local businesses. So it's still going to have vendors, but it's going to be more about the local businesses rather than bringing in outsiders to sell booze and sell outside wares. So TBID, I was asked to join a focus group, so I'm going to add that into my outreach groups so I can come back and share with you guys. Michael Womble reached out to be a part of Visit Morro Bay, so I'll be talking to them and getting back with you guys on that. Master leaseholders, one of the things that we did was the stickers, and we Harbor Department did the stickers, so I wanted to go out and pass them out, and Eric and Lori possibly joining me, but a little on the hesitant side, I got the feeling. I was going to ask you guys if you wanted to be ambassadors, because it's going to be a long process. We're going to pass out these things, you know, and say, you know, what it can do to help their business, and then we're going to get a lot of questions, you know, parking, stacks, batteries, you know, all of the different things that are going on. So it's just a really good thing for us to outreach with a lot of the businesses that pay for the Harbor Department, majority of the Harbor Department. So if anybody wants to join us, please contact me. When I talked to Erica today, she wants to actually create a whole group that goes down and talks to the Embarcadero. So kind of a combined, oh, thank you, Eric. A combined, he's showing the sticker, group that can go and talk to businesses down there and actually set it up and put out a blast to them saying when it is that we're going to show up and for the business owners to be present. So if you want to be part of that, or if there's any particular business that you would like to check off of our list to make sure everybody gets a sticker and an opportunity to ask the Harbor Advisory Board about current events, let me know, because I'm going to make a list of all the different places. And that'll be happening in January, because as a business owner, January is slow. So that's a really good time after the holidays to reach out and to touch base with the Embarcadero businesses. All right, that has it for me. Next thing is, or last thing is, future agenda items. Would anybody like to propose a future agenda item? Not seeing any. I have a question to Jeremiah. The sanctuary. I feel like that's something that we should know about, and it's a current event that the Harbor Advisory Board, I don't know. Can you kind of tell us what's going on with that?
Well, the sanctuary has proposed, God, I don't know where to start. The sanctuary has proposed, had not met their time requirement, but the federal government gave them an extension, and they also had extended the progress they made. In giving them the extension, they get to keep the progress they had made. So now they just have, the federal government has decided they have passed another leg. There's like six stages to become a marine sanctuary. And so it's basically, it's being pushed forward in D.C. So we're still working against it. And I don't know. The Harbor Advisory, so currently we have in the city a resolution against the sanctuary, as far as, not against it, and then I don't want to make it sound like that, but to not welcome the sanctuary here. Now, one of the reasons I perhaps didn't bring it up to the Harbor Advisory Board is there is nothing really that I would like to see advised to the city, because they already have the resolution that covers that. And so it's just being pushed forward, and we're working, to have it removed. Probably Fishermen's Organization, as well as a few other organizations, are who I'm referring to, is working to have it taken off the shelf.
Right. So historically speaking, the city council, previous city council, has requested for it not to occur, and then the previous Harbor Advisory Board has come up to us, and they did not want it either. So if it becomes a further issue, we just keep us abreast of the situation. And if it does actually become something that we should make a future agenda item, or does anybody here feel like it should possibly be a future agenda item?
I'll defer that to Eric. Perhaps he can add a little bit to that. Not to put you on the spot there, but given the resolution, I'm not sure as if we want to go, where are we going to go from there,
Yeah, so I'll add a little bit to what Jeremiah said. So the Marine Sanctuary nomination was made, called the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary, basically connect the Monterey Bay to the Channel Island sanctuaries. Put up about 6 years ago. They re-upped the nomination at the end of the Trump administration, which means it sits on a shelf until NOAA or Congress decides they want to establish a sanctuary that was nominated. NOAA
through the desire of the Biden administration, NOAA is moving to now establish the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. So the first step of the process was nominating it and putting it sort of on the shelf for consideration. The second step is either Congress or NOAA moving forward on designation of it, which that step has been taken. The federal government put out the federal notice in the register, like they do with everything, all the actions they take. There's a 60-day comment period, which in my opinion is pretty darn short, especially since it started right before the holidays. That comment period closes on January 10th, I believe. So anything has to get in on January 10th. The city council's current resolution that stands from, I forget what year, it's several years old, but it's one of about four that the city council has passed over the years. It basically says the city of Morro Bay is in opposition to any new National Marine Sanctuary creation on the central coast of California unless certain issues are resolved, and those issues are conflict with fisheries, conflicts with harbor uses, and no local control are basically the big three. And so until those issues are resolved, the city council has gone on record saying we oppose marine sanctuary designation. So that's kind of where it sits right now. Whether we take anything to the city council or not is yet to be seen. There's one city council meeting in December. It's on the 14th. That agenda publishes next week. So it's a pretty short timeline, unfortunately, with the timing. Almost seems to make sense to request an extension on the comment period just based on all the holidays and everything, but that's kind of where it stands right now. Lynn, you had a comment?
No.
Yeah, I saw your name light up.
All right. So, Eric, in your opinion, is this something that HAB should keep tabs on? I mean, it would seem to me like I didn't know about it until today, but if there is a public comment period and the previous HAB had opposed it, I think it would have behooved us to collect or know about that so we could actually put in a HAB's recommendation that's current, because current means a lot more than some HAB that it might not be in. It doesn't have the same members.
I don't know what the last HAB action on it was. I know. Yeah, it's been a while. We've looked at it several times. I think we had a pad on the agenda just for public discussion and make a recommendation to the council. And my guess is we recommended to oppose it on the same basic three items, which is where it probably stands today. Unfortunately, that notice came out. Jeremiah, was it last week or week before? It just came out.
Correct. And, yeah, as Eric said, that it is, yeah, I think it's probably 2 weeks now. But it doesn't give much time to rally the troops, so to speak, before public announcement or public input ends.
Okay, so it being agenda or requesting future agenda items and voting on if we want to add this to it, and it seems like it's a time-sensitive thing, it almost seems like a good thing to add it to a future agenda item, and knowing that we can't meet until February, use that to say, please keep the public comment area open, because we haven't even been able to have a time to discuss it within the advisory board. Anyway, I'm just thinking that agendizing it, whether we do anything with it or not, would benefit us, especially if we want to. I want to learn more about it and see how I feel about it. So
you can and should declare a future agenda item. We don't need to vote. I just need support from a couple other members. And right now, there's no action to be done. And as soon as we look at it, it would be February, unless we call for a special meeting.
Chris says yes.
So if they don't extend the time period for public comment, then February will be too late, I believe, right?
Hey, Eric, can I just put in? Can we just can I don't know how. I feel like somebody should put in a letter saying that we just got wind of it. We would like to have the opportunity to discuss it. And the first time that we have the chance is in February. Could you please extend it to, you know, 30 more days or 60 more days based on the fact that this, we need more time. Do we need to have a vote on that, or can the chair just submit a letter?
Well, you can, no, you can't take that kind of action. It's not on the agenda.
Okay.
There's absolutely nothing to stop you from contacting, and I can probably give you some phone numbers and emails. There's nothing to stop you from contacting the Sanctuary Program and asking that and making that comment, or anybody on the HAB for that member. You can't speak for the HAB because the HAB hasn't taken that action, but you can certainly, as a citizen, and make that comment to the Sanctuary Program. I've had multiple discussions, not with the fishermen, but with some of the sanctuary folks, and I won't telegraph out what I'm thinking, but it's a perfectly fine comment that you could make, Charisse. Yes, you could put that input down, just not on behalf of the Harbor Advisory Board.
Okay. All right. Got it. Okay, so I motion. Oh wait, no. You said we just need to have a couple more people, and so Chris said, "Yes, let's make it a future agenda item." We need to?
I support it.
Gene says yes. What we need one more?
No, you're fine. So we'll add it to the list when something necessarily comes up or it makes sense. So we'll just add it as, Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary, consideration of, and it's just on there as a generic item to address anything that comes up in the process.
Okay, sounds good. Meeting adjourned.
Oh, no.
How sudden.
What, do we? Everybody had their say in future agenda items. So, Lynn, thank you so much.